All right, good morning. We're going to continue with Psalm 1. So if you could turn to Psalm 1, and we're going to go over verses 2 and 3 for our meditation today. We'll start with verse 1 and go to 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning, and we want to meditate on it today. Lord, would you teach us your ways? Help us to understand what it means to be righteous and to live righteously. God, so we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we talked about yesterday about our company and who we are hanging out with. But if we look at verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This word, but, is a contrast. It indicates a contrast. So the first verse, in verse 1, it indicates something negative. Oh, you know, don't stand in the path of sinners, and don't sit in the seat of those who mock you, and don't walk in the wicked of the council. But now there's something positive that's going to happen. And so in contrast to sort of the, if you were here yesterday, we talked about the spiritual erosion of the heart. We have a way to build up a believer's life. And so I think in this Psalm 1, verse 2 is actually the focal point of the whole thing. The thing that sets apart a righteous person is that he or she meditates on God's word. And to meditate on God's word means to seriously think of God's word, even when you don't have the text in front of your eyes. There's a lot of different meanings and translations of meditate, but I think that's one that comes to my mind, is that to meditate on God's word means to think about the word of God even when the text is not in front of your eyes. Now, that's pretty convicting to me, because it seems to me that most times the only time I'm really thinking about God's word is when I'm reading it and when the text is in front of me. But David takes it to a whole nother level of reading God's word or understanding God's word. He takes it to a whole nother level, and that level is, I want you to think about God's word even when the Bible's not even in front of you, when you're not actually reading it. To go beyond that and to think about it when the text is not in front of your eyes. I want you to keep in mind that David didn't have a nice, fancy, leather-bound Bible with his name engraved in the front with a bunch of, you know, study comments, commentary. He didn't have a study Bible or anything like that. He didn't have a travel pocket Bible that he could put in his toga or his robe that he could just pull out at any time when he wanted to, when he was tending the sheep. Or when he was playing his instruments, you know, he didn't have a Bible to just pull out and just and read. So his exposure to the scriptures was probably only what he heard in the temple when they gathered, when he worshipped, when he heard it, or if he read it on the Sabbath day. And so after hearing the word of God in the temple and being proclaimed, then he would have to think about it all day long and think about it maybe all week long until the next time they gathered together to worship. And so that's, for him, what it meant to meditate on God's word. That was a lifestyle of his, that whatever he heard, he just remembered and thought about it, because he didn't have a Bible in front of him to just go and read at his leisure. And in fact, in Psalm 119, he says, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. His eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. The imagery there for me is, I can imagine him tending the sheep at night, being very dark, and the sheep are sleeping, or the sheep are doing whatever they're doing, and he's, there's nothing really much to do for him. And he's going back to the word of God that he heard. He's going back to the word of God that is now in his heart. He's just meditating and meditating and meditating. And so what we can do practically is to, you know, as we come to EMP, as we listen to the word, as we read our own devotional, for me, I enjoy going through the Psalms and just meditating on that. You know, practical thing is that we get up in the morning and we meditate on it and we go through the day thinking, okay, how can I, you know, apply this, and having the Word of God in the forefront of our mind. And for example, you know, Philippians 4 talks about how our God, my God, Paul says, my God will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. And so if we meditate on that, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and in glory. And as we go in our workplaces and we're struggling, oh, you know, how am I going to be able to figure this out? Or how am I, you know, going to manage all of this thing? You know, and just, you know, that verse, my God will supply all my needs. My God will supply all my needs and according to his riches and glory. And you're meditating upon how abundant in riches and in glory that he is, and that he's God and that he's able to. And you're just meditating on that and applying that throughout your life. I think that was the lifestyle that David lived in. And as he lived like that day by day, you could imagine him being closer to the Lord, and just imagine him being victorious in his life and his faith increasing and his spiritual tanks arising. It's just because the Word of God is in him. He's meditating on it, and it's in the forefront of his mind, and it clears the path of his life each day. That whenever there's some obstacles in his way, he's able to meditate on God's Word. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And so I can see David growing in his relationship with God to the point where it says, where God says, David is a man after my own heart. And in Psalm 119, he continues to say, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day long. David says a righteous man in Psalm 1 is a person who meditates day and night, meaning you know, from the day, from the night. That's an illustration of every moment, of all moments, from day and night, meaning all available moments. There's another significant thing about this verse, and it's that word delight. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. There's a couple problems that I have with this translation. The first problem I have is the word delight. And the second problem I have is in the law of the Lord. Let's start with the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord in that translation in the NASB, it just sounds very restrictive, the law of the Lord. You know, if I were to ask you, how many of you love Hong Kong seatbelt laws? You know, it's like, oh, I love it. Yes. You know, I can't wait to apply that in my life. I can't wait to apply Hong Kong seatbelt laws in my life. You know, it doesn't make sense. So when we read the law of the Lord, it's hard to like get excited about that. But if you could just translate that into God's word, and God's word meaning the things that come from his heart. If I were to say, you know, I'd like you to listen to my words, Eugene's words, there's the speech that's coming out of my mouth. And that gives you a different sort of perspective, that what's coming out of my mouth comes from within my heart, and what comes within my heart is an understanding of who I am. And so if we translate it to law of God, which it is the law, he gives us laws, things to follow, things, you know, to prohibit ourselves from, refrain from. But if we translate that to God's word, meaning it comes from his heart and who he is, then maybe we can have a better understanding of what it means to delight. Because growing up in church and growing up in reading the scriptures, I never thought of the Bible as something that I got excited about. In fact, it felt more of a punishment or something to help me fall asleep. You know, when I was younger and I had a Bible on audio, back then in cassette tapes. And, you know, my parents would make me listen to the Bible before going to bed. And I remember, like, I was conditioned to put in the tape, listen to the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. You know, and then it would go, in the beginning, God created. And then I would just fall asleep and knock out because it was just so soothing and just it knocked me out. So, growing up, I never had this sort of connection that the Bible was exciting or the Bible was, you know, something to get excited about or delight. But in verse 2, there's a complete contrast. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time you felt delight in reading God's word? Or do we have a reluctance when we decide, okay, I know I got to read my Bible. I know I got to read my Bible. Okay, Genesis chapter 1 for the 100th time, you know, and we're just reluctant. But the Bible says his delight, that we delight in God's word, that it's not bothersome, or it's not a burden, that it's not an interruption. You know, I remember dating and, you know, getting a phone call from my wife, you know, back before we were married and back when we were dating, and you see the caller ID, and I remember just getting so excited, you know, and it didn't matter what I was doing. I was going to just stop what I was doing and just pick up the phone, and my voice all of a sudden changes into the usual hello. It's like, hello, you know, it's just, it's embarrassing, I know. But there's a change because you know that, I'm getting a call and I've been waiting for this. You know, I've been thinking about her and I've been, you know, waiting for a call and she calls and now we get to talk. We get to connect, you know, and for many of us, our experiences in dating is that, you know, you stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, talking and connecting and just enjoying that and delighting in that. And then you hang up. And then I don't know if this is part of your experience, but you hang up and then you call again because it's like, you know, I missed you, but we just hung up like 2 seconds ago. I know, but you know, I just wanted to connect and things like that. And that was a delight in that connection. And this is sort of the understanding that I have in terms of when David is experiencing what he's experiencing in verse 2, that he is delighting in connecting with God's word because he's experiencing him, delighting in God's word, and how wonderful it is to delight in the word of God, that it's a genuine joy, that it's not just a rule book or a legal system, that it's not a burden. It's just rather God revealing himself. And as we get deeper into God's word and as we get to know him better, and as we get to experience the truth of God's word, it becomes an incredible delight. 1 John writes, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love and keep his commandments. For this is love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." His commandments are not burdensome. And I understand that. Like, for example, like my son doesn't like to brush his teeth. He's always had a problem with that. And I'm trying to command him to brush his teeth right before he goes to bed. And it's really not burdensome. It's actually, if you don't brush your teeth, your teeth are going to get rotten. You're going to have cavities. You're going to have pain. And your teeth is going to be messed up. So, in fact, my command to him to brush his teeth is not burdensome. It's actually freedom, so that it would prevent him from later, teeth decay and pain and trouble and braces and orthodontics and, you know, just a whole, you know, and then the cost of all that, just simply by brushing your teeth. And I want him to understand that, look, I know you're tired and you want to go to bed right now, but you got to brush your teeth. And he complains. And I'm saying, look, it's just do it quickly. You don't have to do, you know, you don't have to spend 45 minutes on brushing your teeth. Just do it really quickly. Just do it. And he thinks, oh, what a burden. I'm tired and I don't want to do it. But he's got to understand that simple command is going to save him a lifetime of pain. And I think that's maybe what the Lord is saying to us about his commands. It's look, you may think it's burdensome, but it's actually freedom. You might think it's heavy and difficult, but it's actually freedom. It's actually beneficial to you for you to listen to my commands and obey them. Any parent would know that the reason why we give rules to our children is so that they would be free and protected, not harmed. But for us, when we have rules, we feel like my parents are trying to harm me and trying to make life difficult. But that's exactly opposite of the case. But I want to move to verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. So the righteous person here is compared to a tree planted by a stream. And remember the climate of this, of the Middle East, of this area, in a country where there isn't much rain, a tree doesn't really stand much of a chance, unless it's located in a place where the soil is moist. Then it has a chance to be a strong, healthy tree in this very dry climate. And there are four things that are true of this kind of tree, which can be an illustration of what's true of a person who's growing spiritually. First, he is planted and he's got his roots that is deep down, that is stable and fortified. And so that we're grounded, that we're rooted, that we're stable. And when we have God's word in our hearts, we are stable. We won't be wavering by our circumstances or our situation, but we're going to be rooted knowing the promises and the truth of God. Second, he bears fruit, which is obvious, and that's the natural process of God's creation, that if you are being watered and nourished, you're going to, the end result is bear fruit. And just like a person growing spiritually, he's going to develop the godlike characters listed in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, and that's the desire. And that only happens if we're planted by a stream of water, which is God's word. To bear fruit, we need to be planted. Third, he or she doesn't wither under these circumstances of life. That, you know, obviously in Israel, in the Middle East, it's a hot sun and it's just not ideal conditions. In fact, it's destructive conditions. But he or she that is planted in streams of water will not wither and it will survive under all circumstances, even during difficult days. And fourth, finally, he or she is prosperous and that God blesses him or her in multiple ways, that God will bless them and he is prosperous. Jeremiah uses the same image in Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's Jeremiah 17. And so this morning our meditation is getting into the Word of God and meditating in the Word of God. And for me, I mean, you know, may the Holy Spirit speak to you about different aspects of Psalm 1. But for me, it's this idea of delighting in God's Word. Lord, help me to delight in your Word, to not look at it as burdensome or a chore. Help me to see that it is the book of life that gives us life. Help me to see your Word as your voice and your Spirit and who you are. Help me to love your Word. And so I want to encourage you this morning to spend some time meditating on his Word. Maybe all day, you know, you can meditate on Psalm 1 and every available moment that you think about it and let it guide and make the path of your life for today. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. So let me read this again as we listen to it. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Lord, we just ask that you would give us delight in your word, that we would be hungry for your word. Lord, as we have many responsibilities and obligations throughout this day and throughout our week, Lord, we just pray that we would fuel up and be stable and plant ourselves by living water. Lord, prosper us. God, bless us. Help us to bear fruit. Lord, speak to us today through your word. We thank you, Lord. Thank you.
is here to comfort me. Many sorrows cannot quench your love. Darkness cannot overwhelm it. I will not fear. Your love is here to comfort me. You comfort me. Holy love, flow in me. Fill me up like the deepest sea, and like a crashing wave flowing over me. Holy love, flow in me. When I find you, I find healing. When I find you, I find peace. And I know that there's no river so wide, no mountain so high, no ocean so deep that you can't part the sea. When I find you, I find healing. When I find you, I find peace. And I know that there's no river so wide, no mountain so high, no ocean so deep that you can't part the seas. And holy love, flow in me. Fill me up like the deepest seas, and like a crashing wave flowing over me. Holy love, flow in me.
Thank you, Lord, for your love that is beyond what we can ever understand and transcendent, and it is holy. God, we thank you for those things. Father, we just ask for your blessing as we seek your face and as we intercede for our community. Lord, we ask that you would hear the cries of your people. So let's intercede. Let's pray right now for those who are ill and suffering through cancer and treatment and therapy. And so let's lift them up and ask the Lord to heal them and bless them. And let's pray for miracles. Let's ask the Lord to truly be glorified through their lives and through their healing. So let's lift them up in their families. Let's pray for salvation for those loved ones as part of our community. Let's pray for healing over their sickness, and that God would use this challenging time to open their eyes to see that God is a God of miracles and God is a God, is a healer. And so let's lift them up and pray for salvation. Let's pray for those with other illnesses and sicknesses. Let's ask God to heal them and to bless them and give them grace. So let's lift them up right now. Pray for those looking for jobs and employment. Ask the Lord to bless them with and direct them and guide them. And as the direction of their life will change by this new job, let's ask the Lord to guide them. Let's pray for our mission focus for today. And today let's pray for Cambodia and ask the Lord to use our servants that are there, Grace and Ashley, Pastor O, Pastor Tang. And let's ask the Lord to strengthen them, to encourage them, to bless them, and ask the Lord to use their churches and their organizations to spread the gospel and to heal and to rescue and to save. And so let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for the board. Let's ask the Lord to give them unity and wisdom. And let's pray for their families and ask the Lord to guide them and speak to them in powerful ways that the Lord would reveal just His heart to them. So let's lift up the board. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, for the welcoming team and the barista team. Ask the Lord to use their smiles, to use just them as people to bless and to demonstrate the heart of God as guests come in and as even regular members come in. Let's ask the Lord to use them in powerful ways. So let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for SP 2.0, and we pray for it once a week because we want to build the foundation of prayer, because someday SP 2.0 is going to happen, and we need to we want to make sure that we pray that that God will lead us, and we need Him to help us in search for to prepare SP 2.0. So let's pray for that, and let's pray for a donor that has been prophesied that the Lord would use someone wonderfully to donate for SP 2.0. So let's lift that up right now. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning, and help us to meditate on your word. And we ask for your blessing over this week. And thank you for just the rest that you give us as we come here. Lord, we just thank you for all things. And we lift this time up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.